I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We set aside time every Tuesday in this hour to highlight what the NOLA Coalition is doing. You've heard me say before that I believe that this is a defining moment for the city of New Orleans, and a lot of the work that's done through the collaboration of not-for-profit groups, the business associations, business leaders in and around the city coming together in a collaborative effort to address some of the issues that need to be addressed in this city is critically important to the success of the city in the near future and in the distant future as well. And today's no different. We have Natalie Simon, special counsel to the CEO and president of public policy initiatives at Latrim. Jay LaPere, the president and CEO there. Latrim has been a great corporate partner with government throughout the metropolitan area. They invest in a lot of the initiatives that are going on that are difference makers here. And we're pleased to have Natalie with us this morning. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Noel. Always great to have me on your show. Thanks.
Thank you, Natalie. So, Natalie, with that in mind, we discussed yesterday a little bit with Rafi Goyeneche, the new NOPD recruiting and retention dashboard that you guys have created. Tell us about the backdrop leading up to this, why, the why. The dashboard is obviously the what.
Sure. When we first started the coalition, I think a lot of us at the table, let me back up a little bit. I don't think any of this is new. You and I have talked about this before. You know, even the transition plan, 5 years ago, talked a lot about recruitment and doing a real assessment about our recruitment process and digging in terms of why, you know, applicants kind of squeak in. So the public safety committee of the transition, coalition of leaders that Cantrell put together had looked at this, and part of her recommendations in that transition plan talked exactly about, you know, recruit stat meetings and really doing a deep dive at the granular level about recruitment, applications, looking at bottlenecks in terms of why each step of the process takes a certain amount of time. So when we came together as a coalition, I think some of us at the table who've been trying to, you know, go back to those days of really looking at these issues at a granular level felt strongly that the city should really go back to those transition recommendations and implement some of those. And all of this is done, and I just want to be sure your listeners understand that this is all done through a continuous improvement lens, right? We're all aligned in hiring more officers so that they can be more effective and more efficient in what they do. And you mentioned Latrim at the beginning of the show, everything we do is done through a continuous improvement lens. No matter how great a meeting goes with a customer, we're constantly trying to improve. And I think this is what we're also trying to push at the coalition, is looking at this data, making sure we understand the process, and making sure we challenge ourselves as a city and a department to make sure that, you know, we nip this in the bud as much as we can, and we continue to see growth and not decline. And we had pushed for, if you look at our first track initiatives and recommendations was to reinstate recruit stat meetings. And we came up with the idea of this, you know, public dashboard so that the public can understand, you know, where we are in the process. And I think that's what sort of led to this. I know that's a long answer to your question, but a lot of what we talk about, Newell, is not new. It's been around for a long time.
No, but I think it's important to backfill, you know, why we find ourselves at the position in the position that we find ourselves in today. And I, for one, believe in transparency, because mm-hmm. I think you would recognize and you would admit that when we talked many, many years ago, a lot of those discussions grew out of frustration as to trying to figure out where are we from a numbers perspective. We never could seem to find out how many, you know, authorized strength was there, how many folks were actually working, how many not working, how many were we able to recruit. Right. There's been a number of recruiting initiatives. And one of the observations that I've made before, and I know that, Natalie, you will be all over this, is that, you know, when we look at an organization such as the NOPD, the JPSO, whatever it may be, they're not unique unto themselves. There's a lot of similarities. Is you have to run them as a business enterprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love when you talk about this continuous improvement model, because forward-leaning organizations that are running as a business enterprise, that's what they do. And that's what leads
exactly
to their success, you know, and we find ourselves in recruiting and retention. Typically, law enforcement is not competing with other law enforcement. We are now, because we need ourselves up. We need to go out there and compete for a very limited asset or resource, as you well know, human capital. And without mm-hmm. human capital, mm-hmm. none of this works, right?
Of course. And I'm glad you brought up transparency, because that's a big, you know, element of this, right, is having transparency and accountability. And, you know, I guess folks who are under the tent understand this, you know, at a granular level, those folks that have been doing recruitment or folks who are associated with NOPJF, they know this process, but the general public really does not. And I think this is also a way to educate folks. It's a way to be transparent. It's a way to make this have a sense of urgency. I think we know this in a concept, but I'm a big fan of infographics and really getting it on paper and looking at this historic timeline and saying, you know, why, if we have, you know, 6,000 applications coming through, we're only hiring, you know, 104 people. And that is something, and that was back in 2019. But, you know, looking at this historically, trying to figure out, okay, let's be as transparent as possible. Let's challenge ourselves to make sure we've got a long-term plan to fix this, right? And to bridge gaps that need bridging, and to make sure that we aren't on the right trajectory to hiring more folks. And, you know, you're an expert in this, Noel, not me, with your law enforcement background. And you're right, that, you know, other agencies do this as well, and it's a competitive space right now. But we knew this, you know, 5 years ago. We need a plan, a comprehensive plan to address this. And I think the city needs to be transparent about it. It's my understanding that the NOPD is working on to re-implement the recruit stat meetings, and I think that would be great. And I think that's an important step in the right direction. I think, you know, although this dashboard really focuses on recruitment, I think retention, Noel, and I want your thoughts about this too, is even more important. And I think that in order to really attain these goals, we've got to retain the officers that we have. And I think money is one thing, and I think that will be helpful, but money alone will not fix this. And I think that the city has set aside some ARPA funding for some quality of life issues. But if you go back to our March 2022 survey that, and our company actually paid for these consultants to do this morale and retention survey at the NOPD, you know, money came up, but really the top ways for NOPD to improve morale and retention were quality of life type issues, right? Improve equipment, get cars to individual officers, make sure bathrooms were working. We did these, you know, survey groups. And all of that, that's low-hanging fruit, right? And I know that some of the ARPA funds were set aside to make sure that some of these are handled and implemented, but I haven't heard a report. It's my understanding that the CAO is going to be making one this week, and I encourage everybody to attend, but it's at Loyola University this week. He's going to be updating everybody, or the consent decree monitors, on the status of these types of improvements. And I think all of us should be encouraging the city to invest in these officers and their quality of life. And that includes, you know, paint jobs and making sure the facilities work and making sure bathrooms work and making sure they've got the tools that they need to perform their jobs efficiently. And that includes, you know, equipment like computers and printers and tablets. And I haven't seen a comprehensive needs assessment. That's the first thing a business would do, right? Let's figure out what we need and then try to come up with a plan and sequencing and phasing it in. But I have not seen a comprehensive assessment of the needs.
Well, you know, you guys are experts at it as well. You're a very forward-leaning organization. I've been the beneficiary of attending several meetings at your complex. Very impressive. Retention is the byproduct of an organizational culture, right? And I mean, you know, if I were to, if I were probably to do this study at Latrim, your attrition rate is probably not that high. And, you know, y'all are seeking high level skill set individuals that are in it for a whole host of reasons, but a lot of reasons probably very similar to law enforcement, because it's all about problem solving in large respect. And as you just pointed out, having this comprehensive needs assessment and more importantly, how we go about executing on this low-hanging fruit goes a long way with the organizational culture. Just the other day, I interviewed one of the architects in NOLA Coalition that is embarking upon improving the district stations, bringing volunteers from Xavier and Tulane and others, and I applaud the effort. But at the same time, what it reveals is a failure of the organization to act as a ongoing business enterprise, because as you pointed out, and appropriately so, these are things that business organizations think about and execute on every day.
Absolutely. Organizational culture is a big reason why people stay at various companies, ours included. And the leadership has to invest in that and realize, you know, the things that improve not only the quality of life, but the organizational culture of an organization. And that takes time. It takes effort. You know, one of the things I thought was great about the NOPD was the EPIC program, the Ethical Policing is Courageous program. And I think officers, you know, especially seeing what's happening nationally, right, in terms of folks, fellow colleagues not intervening. And the fact that our NOPD actually came up with this idea and created this idea, and I haven't heard about it recently. We used to host a conference. Now, that, you know, in and of itself, knowing that one was a founder of that type of bystander intervention training, and now all of these other police officers and police districts in the country have adopted them, that's a big deal. And it's, you know, I don't know, you have to have several anchors that you use, right, to sort of anchor a corporate culture or an organizational culture. And I always thought that that would be a fantastic anchor. You know, you look at Latrim, we've got the continuous improvement. It's sort of the center of everything that we do. Canal Barge, they have safety. You know, that's sort of their theme. But you have to have these anchors. And I know it takes work, but, you know, one of the things that the coalition has offered, and I think our website even says this, is that we stand ready to invest our time, our people, our expertise, to make a difference. And NOPD has actually taken advantage of our trainings in the past because we've got continuous improvement trainings, and I know civil service has as well. And we always open up our training to public entities. FIRE has taken advantage of them. So I do think that you hit the nail on the head in terms of, you know, organizational culture is super important, and more, it helps with morale to have a healthy one. And the best way to recruit folks is to invite folks to join your organization, right? So with low morale, it's a little hard to be a cheerleader for your own org and encourage folks to apply. I think that's why we don't see folks taking advantage of those referral bonuses or whatever they're called. But I think they get up to $4,000 if they get someone to apply and join the NOPD and complete the academy. And we haven't seen a lot of traction. But I think, you know, if they focus on their corporate culture, focus on the quality of life of the officers, invest in all of that, I think we may, you know, see some improvement there and hopefully better morale.
Natalie, when we come back after the break, let's talk about what this first recruiting and retention dashboard report that reported out on March the 26th and your observations of same. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Natalie Simon, special counsel to the CEO and president, public policy initiatives at Latrim. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.